Yeah, probably not. Okay. It's like, you know, in Colossians it says, have faith in the operation of God.
Yes.
And we have, in this ministry for years, I've taught on God's operation in people's lives. And how most Christians, and you all are aware of this by now, but most Christians don't have a clue as to what God's operation is in their life. What the operation of His Holy Spirit in their life day to day is. There's a lot of reasons, but the main reason is we're not really focused on the fact that when we gave Him our life, He took it. And when He took it, He began to move us toward His plan in His path for our individual life that is directly, intricately, comprehensively connected to the body of Christ as a whole. We're told that we're individual members of a great body. We're individual members of the body, and He gives illustrations like fingers and hands and eyes and ears, and how the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. We really consciously don't consider how connected we are to each other as we are connected to Him. And the reason is we don't really consider how connected to Him we are. And more perfectly, how connected to us He is. Because through most of our life, we walk through this life really thinking that what we're doing is our idea. And He's helping us. He's helping us with our idea.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we consider it. We wouldn't admit that necessarily, but our life proves it. And it's readily seen when we find ourselves under the inspiration of prayer, trying to get out of a situation that we find ourselves in. And then, not considering that it's been our idea, not His. So, the operation of God and understanding His plan in our life is paramount to our day-to-day peace, righteousness, joy, and how we see ourselves as connected to others. Bob talks about family pulls and issues. We all have that. You have all had that. Ultimately, what he'll have to decide is where does Jesus want him, not where does his family want him. If Jesus wants him next to his family, then he'll provide a way, there'll be peace, and there'll be inspiration, there'll be a feeding, there'll be a place for him to continue to grow and be at peace. We need to silence the lamps. Where'd that come from? Anyway.
I love it.
All right. So
that's my cue.
You can edit that.
We'll edit that.
Yeah. Well. Good luck. So the operation of God and the work of his hands in our life, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It all goes back to our beginnings, and that's why you desperately need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in other tongues, have the evidences of the Holy Spirit's power, grace, activity in your life, because that's the only way that you will consciously be connected to his operation.
Yes.
Now, I kind of laid that groundwork for this scripture that I want to share with us. Joe and I were talking a couple days ago, and this is absolutely amazing. You know, you listen to Bob Gill's little story and his journey, and you see God coming through for him in every situation, making things, and I mean, he's on a fixed income, so I mean, $900 bill here, $1,000 bill there. I mean, all these things going on, and yet the Lord's seeing him through all these things. And he really didn't consider overall, gee, I'll go to Firestone because if something happens, I'll have, there's Firestones all over the place. But the Lord led him that way. And had he not gone to Firestone initially, none of the work on his van would have been covered. It wouldn't have been insured. And also, had not the managers of the places that he broke down at been upright enough to ask him questions and be willing to call the former place and say, hey, we're crediting this work to you because you guys missed it here. I mean, the whole thing would have broke down. And when you see the utter dependency one to another, you see how one person in that chain could have said, no, we're not doing that, and it would have stopped. Then it would have gone into like litigation where he would have said, well, we'll do it, you pay for it, we'll reimburse you, that whole thing, you know, which could go on for years, which he couldn't have handled because he doesn't have the money to do it anyway. So, but what's amazing to me, and this is, I can't get off of this awe and wonder about the Lord, because he is attentive to our conversation when we are sincere.
Yes.
He is attentive to our words when we're sincere. Not even when we're praying. Just Joe and I were just talking about a principle that I've taught on a lot, opportunity and ability, and how all the world functions around opportunity and ability, which creates cause and effect. Everybody, all of us. You have opportunities laid before you. You have to decide whether you have the ability to fulfill that opportunity. And so, but how the Lord makes himself known through just the miraculous response that comes. So we're talking about the jumps. And how this year, last year, you know, we had 4 jumps canceled. This year, we've just been really struggling. It's not our struggle, it's the church. The church is hunkered down and closed all the windows and the doors, and they don't want to be involved in their community, period. They do not want to spend a dime outside of their 4 square walls. I mean, we are living in the day of the wicked husbandman. We are living in that parable where Jesus sends stewards to the vineyard that's been created, that he built, by the way. Anybody that thinks they built a church are, first of all, insane and deceived in the first place. No man has the ability to build a church. Either the Lord builds it, and it's a viable representation of the kingdom, or man builds it, and it's a representation of franchise. It's a representation of Burger King and McDonald's. And the church that man built on earth is a very poor representation. Burger King and McDonald's does a much better job. But the truth of the matter is, when the Lord builds something, then there is his activity in it. And so the wicked husbandmen, they occupy the vineyard that Jesus built, and then they do the work and they create the fruit, and the Lord comes to send ambassadors to get some fruit, and they send them away and beat them, and then the builder of the vineyard says, I'll send my son, surely they'll reverence him, meaning Jesus. They send his son and they murder him, meaning Jesus hung on the cross. And it says, Jesus says, what shall be done to these wicked husbandmen? And the Pharisees themselves said, well, they shall be utterly destroyed. And of course, that destruction is going on as I speak. It's just not in a way that we recognize. The church, much of the church that you see out there is really been destroyed already. The Lord has withdrawn his spirit. He's taken his lamp stand out of the church, as he said he would do in Revelation. There's seven churches, and he gives each one of them a promise, and he gives each one of them a judgment. And the main judgment of those who disobey is that he'll take his candlestick, he'll remove the candle out of their church. What's that? The Holy Spirit, the light of God. Jesus Christ will be removed. His presence will be removed from that church. Well, we go into these, so we go to North Platte, we talk to these three big churches. One, it's interesting, one guy is a recluse who nobody can get to, and he's the pastor of the mega church. Figure that one out. He's the pastor of the largest church in town, 2,000 plus people. The other one's a Foursquare pastor who's probably got about 900 people in his church. This guy's just plays his guitar. Older guy. Nicest guy you ever want to meet, but he ain't doing nothing. Third guy's a fisherman. You go into his office, there's all kinds of fishing pictures and lures and rods and things on the wall. That's his life. They decided not to do anything. He sat right there and looked at us as if he was going to get involved. So we're dealing with all of these issues, and we're talking about it. And I said, you know, Joe, I said, here's how I look, because I was going to cancel North Platte. I was just going to cancel because nobody was coming up with any money. And the small two little churches in Brady that at Gothenburg that's 30 miles away, the guy in the park that initiated the whole thing, who pastors two small churches, they're the ones that want to see this happen. They're limited in their finances, their resources, and their people. But he's the one trying to get, he's going to all these guys, the big guys, and saying, would you help? This would be great. We'll have it in the stadium in Buffalo Bill. And everybody, first of all, he hardly could, nobody will talk to him. I mean, pastors don't have time for it. And so, you know, finally we get the meeting and we go meet with everybody and nobody's doing anything. So I'm figuring I need to cancel this. I don't have the ability or the authority to cancel a program. That's up to the Lord. But I was trying to see what my legal position in this was. I said, Joe, the way I look at this is that when we set the table, it's God's opportunity to us. When we go into White Sulphur Springs or Thermopolis or Lander or Broadus or Big Timber, these smaller towns, we have the power, the money, the ability to advertise. We don't even need the church. We do involve the church, but quite frankly, we don't need it. We don't need the church to go into a community of 3,000 people. We have the resources, the advertising. We have got everything we need to let everybody know and set the table and do the jump. But when we start getting communities of 10,000 and above, it's out of our hands. It's too big of a community for us to be able to advertise and to get the word out and to do justice to it, okay? So I told Joe, I said, the way I see it is, the bigger venues is God's sets the table. And it's their opportunity, it's not ours. Do you understand that?
Yes.
When we set the table, it's our opportunity, not theirs. That's why we can't expect anything out of these smaller towns, because we went in there. The Lord gave us the opportunity. He didn't give them. Now, by our going in there, He's also giving them the opportunity. But because it initiated with us, then we're responsible. And it's either our reward for doing it, or we're not going to be rewarded for not doing it. You see what I mean? So we talk about that. And this is the operation of the Spirit. So Joe comes back the next day. He says, listen to what the Lord gave me. This is awesome. So Luke 14. Verse 12. And Jesus speaking. When you make a dinner, you getting this?
Yes.
When you set the dinner, call not your friends or your brethren or your kinsmen, but your neighbors, or people who can pay for this, basically. But when you make a dinner, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yes.
Now, down in verse 16, he says, but when the Lord makes the dinner, verse 16, a certain man made a great supper. Who's that? Jesus. When Jesus sets the table, then he sends his servants and bid those to come. Isn't that interesting? So Job comes up with this. And so Jesus, set the supper in North Platte, and he sent Joe and Gene, his servants, and to call those that were bidden and tell them what the Lord was doing. And they all with one consent began to make an excuse. Well, I bought a piece of ground. I need to go see it. I bought some oxen. I got to go prove them. I married a wife. I can't come. I have a movie to see. I mean, the list is long. So, now, why is that important to see? Because it shows us the order, and it also justifies our thinking. And that's important. I don't know about you, but I've got to feel like I'm in line with what the Lord's doing with what I do. Okay, so then with North Platte, I was pretty much ready to cancel. Then we got a check. The small churches got $1,700 and sent us our travel. And I was still going to cancel. Well, then they called me. And I said, look, why don't we do this? Why don't we have the jump in Gothenburg, have it in your little town? I told them, I said, these churches, these pastors in North Platte could care less. whether we come or not. I said, they're not worthy of this. Let's do it in your hometown. He said, well, I'm having a board meeting. I'll call you back. So he called me the other night. He said, you know, we're all agreed that we need to do it in North Platte. And he said, the reason why is because, he said, North Platte is like an unbroken shell. And he says, we need something to crack it open.
Yes.
And we feel like you're it. That's our marching orders. I felt, yeah, man. We're into breaking, cracking, and busting things open. That's part of what we do.
I feel the spirit in that.
And I had told him, look, we need $4,200 more to come. I said, here's what we'll do. We'll split it with you. We'll pay 21 and you pay 21 or 22, 20, whatever it was. And come to $2,500 on their end total. And he said, okay, we'll do that. And so we dropped it. And basically, we're going to get $2,500, which is, I've been doing figures on everything and everybody going, the guys and the van and the motels and all of that stuff. And the best I can come up with is about $2,500 and $2,560. So we're real close. Plus, it's also going to pay our way, pay the road crew's way, gas to Gunnison. So that $2,500 will pay for us to get there and pay for us to get to Gunnison. And it'll give $700 to $800 to the crew that's going to come to North Platte to set up. And the rest, and he said this, he says, we'll put up an offering table and we'll man the offering table, and anything that comes in goes to you guys. And anything additionally that comes in over and above our expenses. And they're also going to get our motel rooms. So I felt really good about it. So North Platte is a go. We're going to take just the guys to North Platte. And then the following week of is Gunnison, and that will be Sunday, August 7th. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, August 7th, Sunday in Gunnison, 2 o'clock. And most of the girls are going to that. We're going to... And after the meeting, I need all the crew to come up here and grab a chair, because we have to go through some things and get some things settled, because I got some phone calls I got to make after the meeting to secure all the stuff. But I wanted to read one more scripture to you, and this is more personal. This scripture is something that you can really take some time on yourself. For yourself, this is 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. And this is King David's charge to his son Solomon. And it's 1 Chronicles 28, verse 8. And he says, keep and seek. Keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. Now, this is, David is speaking, of course, of the kingdom of Israel. He's speaking of the land of Israel. He's speaking of the natural seed of the Jews. But this is a spiritual principle of truth that applies to you and I, and it is also given all through the Scripture. And he says, "You, Solomon, my son, may know that you may know the God of your father." That you may know the God of your father. Every God-ordained prophet, priest, evangelist, teacher, shepherd, every anointed child of God becomes a father to somebody. Now, this is where we lose a lot of people in the church. We lose a lot of people in the church because, especially in America, third world Christianity understands this. Western Christianity is selfish. The church is selfish, self-centered, egotistical, and everything revolves around their and their life. And because our culture is void of family, we don't know what family is. We don't even have a tree, let alone know what our family tree is. We don't even have it. And the truth is that we are to know the God of our Father. And yes, our Father in heaven, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yes, he is our Father. But Paul said, you have not many fathers. You have many instructors, but not many fathers. I have fathered you in the Lord. And every true, anointed, spiritual man of God who has been called and anointed of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the captain over the hosts of God's army and who is the head of the church, every anointed father has the same spirit. The spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the Father. And they are responsible for imparting that spirit to the church. So, he says that you, Solomon, may know the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. I wonder how often, I want you to hear this now, I wonder how often you've considered whether you have a perfect heart. Where our heart is, where our intentions are, what our motives are, and what we do, what we think, what we say, where we go, how we treat each other, if you've really considered your heart. I wonder how often we look at that. Because David's admonition to Solomon is very simple. It's the same admonition to all of us. Serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. What does that mean? What's a willing mind?
Submitted to the Lord, to His will.
How do you know if your mind is submitted to Him?
Peace,
agreement. How about willingness to change the way you think? See, I don't think we go that deep. Because how many times have you heard people come up to you with a different theology than you have? Theirs is in the Bible, yours isn't.
That's right.
But you know more than they do. And this is the way we've believed, and by God, we're going to believe this way. You know, we talked about Batman, his theory of the when the tornadoes were coming last year, he prayed light over his trailer.
White light.
There isn't any other kind, but white light. Well, I'm sorry, there's no theology for that.
No.
None. And so we talked with him about it. And we love him. He's a great guy. But you know, he's screwed up. He's got a strange spirit. And I would say he serves the Lord in many ways with a genuine, pure heart. But not with a willing mind. And so his mind defiles his heart. Now what's that do for you? How's that make you feel? Your mind can defile your heart. Just by not having a willing mind. And be willing to change the way you think.
Question concerning Batman. If he put the white light on the whole thing, like he says he did, could Satan honor that to confuse him?
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's what happened.
Comes as an angel of light. Yeah.
So he kept the tornadoes away from him to confuse his believing in Christ.
Yes.
Into who to really act.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've known people that have been healed by the devil.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You told me that can happen.
If he puts an infirmity on you, he can take it off.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. True.
We have the power to do that. I could give Joe a pain right here. See? If I'd have left it there, he'd have been down. But I gave him grace. I took it off of him. And see? The Lord uprighted him. Okay.
I'm glad he didn't do that to you, Bob.
Almost had the back of your head.
For the Lord searches the heart and understands all of our imaginations and thoughts. He understands it. If you seek Him, He will be found of you.
Yes.
This closes the door to all these people that are saying, well, I've asked the Lord to help me and He hasn't helped me. They haven't. He just said, and this isn't just one place, if you seek Him, He'll be found. If you knock, He'll open the door. Now, as we go back to the first, keep and seek all of His commandments. What's the key word here? It says, seek. Oh, wait a minute. You mean He's not just going to give it to me? Seek to keep. Seek His commandments. The day that we stop pressing in to know Him. Oh, I know the Lord. Yeah, you're already in a backslidden state if you say that. Who knows the Lord? Give me a break. We're all trying to know Him and learning to know Him, and He reveals Himself to us as He wills. And it's exciting every time He does something in us that causes us to see Him a little clearer. To hear His voice. To give us a little direction. To give us a little inspiration of joy. You think there's anything left of God for you to know? Have we got it all figured out?
No.
Now this always gets me. The angels in heaven who are looking at him face to face spend all their time praising him in wonder of his works. How often can you praise somebody for doing the same thing over and over again? But they've never come to an end of seeing his works. His works are beyond knowing, beyond finding out. The more we know, the more we know about the Lord, the more we see, the more we thank him, the more thankful we become. The more we realize how much we don't know. Shoot, Bob was riding on a bad bearing. That wheel was probably disconnected all the way up and back. And it would have been fine if he hadn't have put the crunch on the brake and pulled off onto that exit. He probably would have gone to where he was going and shut it down. And the first time he put undue pressure on that tire, it would have folded. Or if he would have said, they put that up on the jack and test it out, probably the thing would have fallen off. What do we call that? Well, that's God's hand keeping it together. And yep. God also had the ability to keep that bearing forever.
The mechanic made that comment because the team Jesus on the front, he pointed at it. He said, that's what kept the wheel on it. That's what he
there
said.
You go.
That's what he said.
I told you the story. I drove from South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, to Toronto, Canada. Toronto, Canada. My truck and trailer, landing ramp, motorcycles, PA systems, weights, everything. My crew in the back. Drove all the way up to Canada from South Carolina, and we got out to our hotel. I looked at the back tires and there was oil around the hubs, and I thought, well, something's wrong here. And what they did is they changed they put in new seals and new bearings in the truck rear end before I left South Carolina. So I took it into the Chevy place. I said, something's wrong here. Would you guys mind checking it out? And I left it and went back. So I come a few hours later. The guy said, where'd you come from? I said, South Carolina. He said, no. He says, I mean, where'd you just come from before you came here? I said, South Carolina. He said, no, I don't think you're understanding me. He said, how far did you drive since you saw the problem? I said, South Carolina. He said, are you telling me? The guy couldn't get it. Are you telling me that you drove this vehicle from South Carolina to here? I said, yes. He said, well, it's a miracle. I said, why? He said, whoever changed your bearings and put your rear end together, forgot to put the locks in it. So there was nothing keeping your axles your wheels from just going whoop. Nothing. I felt bad for the two angels that had to put their finger in it. You know?
As long as one win.
Gertrude Eclipse, you know. But unexplainable stuff. You know, unexplainable. But the Lord keeps us. So, but this scripture means a lot to me. To know the God of your Father, that you might keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord, that you remain in and possess the land that he's given you. And serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And if you seek him this way, he will be found of you. What a promise.
Yes, amen.
So, in all our ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct our path.
That's right.
Cece and the girls will be back later on tonight. And then not this next weekend, but the following weekend is Butte. And we have no hotels set for Butte. Everybody's just going to go up Saturday morning. The tent meeting will start at 1, be done by 3, 3:30. And then we'll tear down and come home. And then the very next Thursday, we take off for North Platte. So it's very important that we just be praying for whatever the Lord, however you're led, but pray for the tent meeting in Butte. Let's do that first. Let's not worry about North Platte or Gunnison. But pray for Butte. There's a lot of people up there I'm sure that the Lord wants to touch.
Yes. Gene, tell them about Trigger. Let's all pray for Trigger.
Oh, yeah.
Trigger, we don't know how bad, but Trigger crashed in Costa Rica probably 4 days ago, something like that.
He's in Miami now.
And they flew him to Miami to probably the same trauma center that Bob went to. I don't know. We don't know how bad it is. We don't know what happened, but it can't be good.
Yeah. It's paralysis, that's for sure. Yeah.
So, it might be good just to for us to pray. Let's just stand and we'll pray for these things.
Yes.
Let's just sing a verse, Daniel.
Yeah.
Let's sing a verse of I Love You, Lord. Let's sing a couple verses of that, and then we'll pray. Why don't you lead out?
Sure.
I love you, Lord. To worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King,
alla carabinanzia.
In what you hear, let it be a sweet.
Bless you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood on Mount Calvary, for your resurrection out of that tomb. We bless you for sending your precious Holy Spirit to us and filling us with your life. We lift up Trigger Gum right now in the hospital and we say, touch him, Father. And more than anything, reveal yourself. I pray that you would send ambassadors to him that he could be alive in his spirit. And Father, we lift up Butte, Montana, and Evel Knievel Days, and we say, have your will. We rebuke every work of darkness that would stand in our way. We ask that you would just release the light of Jesus Christ upon them all. For us and that area, Father, for us and for uptown, for our shirt tent, that you would provide safety and traveling mercies and grace to everyone that goes up, that you would allow your word to go forth, and for all those that you are calling to come to this tent meeting, that you would bring them, Father. We thank you for the table that you have set. We thank you for giving Cece, Carmi, and Linda a safe traveling home. That you would give Becca a safe and a smooth delivery. Father, we just ask that you cover every family here. All the families that are represented here, in Jesus' name, we speak peace and life. We thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every word that rises up against us, in Jesus' name, we condemn. According to the heritage of your saints. And we bless you, Lord. And we ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. That you would show yourself powerful through signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Move through your people, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people agreed and said,
amen.
Amen.
I have something I'd like to say real quick.
Sure.
I will say a general.